Now, we are officially in the Northern Ireland election period with voting set for May the 5th. The Easter holidays are over and now the parties will be working hard to try and win your vote, including the country's largest party, the DUP, who launched their manifesto indeed very shortly. So over the next 6 weeks, you will have to decide who to vote for if you are going to vote at all. So what can we expect from this particular election? Political commentators Malachy O'Doherty and David McCann are with us this morning. Malachy, what do you think are going to be the big stories from this election?
Well, the big concern for the DUP, as expressed by themselves, is that Martin McGuinness will be the First Minister. Now, whether that's a realistic concern or one that they're going to hype up is another matter. They peaked very well in the last election, you see, and they can't really expect to do as well this time. So either way they paint it, you know, there's some danger for Arlene Foster that she'll be seen as the leader who lost a couple of seats. They're eating away at two sides. They're eating away on one side from the TUV, the very hard-edged anti-agreement force, and they're being eaten at by the Ulster Unionist Party on the other. And we see a renewed or a reinvigorated PUP, or at least they'd have us believe that they're a reinvigorated PUP that might be in with a chance. So I'd say the big change that we might see and the big concern that'll be in play will be the Democratic Unionist Party facing some degree of erosion.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting as well to see what's in the party's manifesto, David, because they're launching their manifesto, in fact, within the next 10 minutes or so. Some people suggesting it's a bit early out of the blocks to be launching a manifesto. What do you think?
Well, I suppose you can never really go too early on these things. I mean, it's questionable how many voters actually bother to read a manifesto and how substantive they are. Ultimately, I think the DUP are going to want to sell what they've done in government over the last 9 years. And it's typically around this point in an electoral cycle where governments, parties seeking to win their terms, run into some electoral problems. So I think that, I mean, Malachy is right, the DUP are being squeezed in certain areas, but there are also potential gains for the DUP. I think they've got a good chance in places like South Belfast to actually pick up from the Ulster Unionists and actually maybe land some unexpected gains. Don't forget, in 2011, the consensus was that Peter Robinson had to lose seats. There was no way he was going to hold what Ian Paisley had won in 2007, and the DUP actually came out of that election with more votes and more seats. So Arlene Foster, I think, has changed the dynamic somewhat for the DUP. And I think that her backstory, her whole narrative, is very, very plausible for a lot of unionists. And just, I would add, another potential threat for the DUP is actually not so much the TUV in this election. I think UKIP in places like East Antrim are much more of a threat for the DUP than the TUV.
Really?
Yeah, well, if you take a look, well, it's just going off of election results, Noel Jordan, for example, polled over 3,500 votes at the Westminster election in East Antrim. Now, he could possibly take a seat off Sinn Féin. If you take a look at some places like South Down and places like that, UKIP transfers could be very influential in actually deciding which unionists get seats, and they could eat into that vote.
Of course, the battle for Sinn Féin, SDLP, battle for the Green vote, Malachy, will be pretty keenly watched in the Foyle constituency this time round because, of course, Sinn Féin are bidding there to retain a third seat. It is, of course, the home patch of the new SDLP leader, Colm Eastwood. So I would imagine there will be a lot of people poring over what happens in that particular constituency.
Absolutely. And I mean, Derry has traditionally been much more constitutional nationalist than Republican. And so if you're seeing a change, it's an ambitious thing for Sinn Féin to try. And if they do it, they will really poke the SDLP in the eye. The SDLP, like the Ulster Unionists, are both in danger because of the way in which the Good Friday Agreement was changed at St Andrews to favour the larger party rather than the larger community in the selection of a first and deputy first minister. That means, see, that there's every incentive for pure nationalists and pure unionists to vote for the bigger party and to ignore the UUP or the SDLP, to sideline them. That whole mechanism is designed to favour big parties and to crush the smaller ones. So both the Ulster Unionist Party and the SDLP will have a very, very hard job registering their presence in this election. South Belfast will be an interesting one. I'm noticing, I mean, you said, for instance, you said a moment ago that it's 6 weeks to the next election. It's actually just about 5 weeks to the next election. And really, people should be hitting the ground running this morning. And I did a wee kind of preview of their websites to see how well organized they are. And some of them are not well organized at all. Some of the websites don't even tell you who their candidates are. But South Belfast, you look and you see the SDLP fielding two candidates, Claire Hanna and Fergal McKinney. You see the Alliance Party fielding two candidates, Duncan Morrow and Paula Bradshaw. And you just wonder, do they really, are they overstretching themselves? Are they, you know, do they really have a chance here? Alistair MacDonald took a, you know, he got South Belfast in the general election last May, but he got it on the lowest possible return that he could have got, you know. And so the SDLP will have a struggle here. And then you look to the emergence of, you talk about the green side, and you meant the nationalist parties, you know, or the Republican parties, but there is a green party. And the Green Party's got a very good candidate in South Belfast, and is a party which has been making some room for itself. So given that there is a rising generation that is really cheesed off with the old sectarian factionalism and really would like that to pass and to be the generation that replaces that.
Interesting.
I would see a lot of vote shifting towards parties like the Greens and the Alliance.
Interesting to note as well, this time around, David, a lot of the big political beasts will not be in the race. The likes of Sammy Wilson, Gregory Campbell, Alistair MacDonald, we've mentioned him there, Mitchell McLaughlin, Michael McGimsey. Do you think, is that going to have a big impact?
Well, I mean, having big hitters like that, there are two impacts. One, yes, they tend to be vote getters. So that does make it sometimes very difficult. It can also make it a bit easier. Having a lightning rod candidate like Peter Robinson or Sammy Wilson, the problem is they can suck votes from their running mates, which makes it harder for them to get elected. So if you're running a whole swath of candidates where you're maybe trying to get three or four seats, not having big names like that on the ballot can make it easier to balance and manage the votes. And it also can bring forward a new generation. That's ultimately what I think we will see. The next assembly will undoubtedly be a bit younger. It should have proportionally a tad more women in it, which I think could be a good thing. And I think that it is a good thing to see that kind of troubles generation begin to move on and see a new younger generation come through.
How much do you think people actually engage with politics here around election time, Malachy? How many people do you think out there will be actually reading this DUP manifesto, which is going to be launched in the next 5 minutes or so?
Well, what we've seen over the years is a declining turnout, you know. And I mean, if you look at, I was reading Andrew Ronsley in The Observer yesterday talking about the apprehensions about the Brexit vote. And what he was saying there is something that reflects what you have here, and that is the disinclination of the young to be involved. And if you get the young more involved, then the opinions that they hold would bring us towards a more liberal thing. If young people who were polled on the general election in Britain had turned out to vote, if they'd turned up on the day, then Ed Miliband would be Prime Minister. And if they turn up on the day of the Brexit vote, then we will stay in the European Union. And again, we have this whole kind of ferment of disdain for the sectarian politics among young people who say they want to do it differently. But will they actually show up and vote? Because if they don't, they won't make a difference. And we've had this general decline over the years since the heat, if you like, of the Troubles and the peace process, the general decline in the turnout to vote. So people are bored for a number of reasons. They're bored because the thing itself is innately boring. They express this disappointment that we have such a conservative, socially conservative parties in charge, and they feel that there's no real prospect of removing them, and therefore that if you're concerned about issues like, for instance, gay rights, abortion, general social reform and so on, that you're not going to get it through these parties. And the response tends to be to switch off and look the other way rather than to get stuck in.
What about the prospect, David, when all's said and done, of maybe having an opposition the next time round? Because the Ulster Unionist Party and the SDLP are keeping their powder dry when it comes to that one, considering all the options. Do you think they will go for it?
I certainly hope that they do. I think that going into a third term of a devolved mandate, I think it's now getting a bit ridiculous that it is next to impossible to remove your government in Northern Ireland. I think that that if you take a look at what they've just done in the South, you know, that they've managed to remove their government. I think that right should equally be extended to us. And I hope that the SDLP in particular do take this moment seriously, because the problem with being in an executive, we saw it over the Fresh Start Agreement, we see it over budgets and things like that. It's very hard to criticize a government policy that you're a part of, right? I genuinely do not know how you can be taken seriously and how you can be credible to say, yes, the executive were wrong to put out this budget, they were wrong to do this policy, and yet remain in that coalition. It's just, they're incompatible things. And I think that if you take a look at the Ulster Unionist Party, you know, Mike Nesbitt got one, two good elections underneath himself, and then he began to be bolder. I certainly hope that the UUP honestly reflect and maybe think that the next term could be better. They could be better served with Mike Nesbitt leading the opposition and actually getting some strong critique on the DUP Sinn Féin executive, because that's essentially what it is. It's a DUP Sinn Féin government. And the other parties are essentially just being a mudguard, really, for the two larger parties.
Okay, it's going to be an interesting 5 weeks, gentlemen. Thank you very much indeed for sharing your thoughts with us on the programme this morning.